time was a very provincial, small, backward city. It wasn't a city of the world. It's a little like the Jews of New York sometimes feel vis-a-vis anywhere else in the world. And because of that, Chonyo was able to convince the Jews of Alexandria to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash that was built in Alexandria, according to the records of the time, apparently was a much more impressive building than the Beis HaMikdash that stood in Yerushalayim. You'll remember that I've discussed with you before that the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was not that imposing a building, at least until the time of Nachash Menoyim. So you had this Beis HaMikdash in Alexandria, and he imported Kohanim, and they had the whole ritual of Korbonos, all the halachas that a Beis HaMikdash they had. So they didn't have the miracles, but that didn't stop them. I mean, to us again, in retrospect, you look at it and our mouths are open in amazement. But the truth of the matter is that if we contemplate human nature, we can see how such things could happen. Yeah, but not in Alexandria. No. So it was safer. What? They had korbonos, yes. They had a mizbeach, they had korbonos, they had the ktores. And in the Gemara, it's called Beis Chonyo. That's the name of it. It's called Beis Chonyo. And the Jews in Alexandria went for it in a very big way. To a certain extent, it became an outstanding tourist attraction. And we'll see later, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara that is probably more well-known, that the Jews built the synagogue in Alexandria of immense proportions, a synagogue that was so large that in order to answer Amen, they did not have a sound amplification system, so in order to answer Amen, they raised flags. They waved to the original, putting up the page numbers of where we're at. And the Gemara there says that the artisans in Alexandria, the Jewish artisans, each one had his own section in the synagogue. The goldsmiths, bad pun, but the goldsmiths sat in one section, and the silversmiths in another, and the carpenters in the third, and the tailors in the fourth, and then it... Josephus writes that the synagogue had it was like an amphitheater that had 8,000 to 10,000 seats.
But at least they allowed the tailors into the same synagogue.
Yeah, all right, but again, but the tailors may have had more money than the other guys. But I'm trying to show you that the Jewish community of Alexandria, they were not pikers. They thought of themselves in very grandiose terms. And the irony of it will be that the Jewish community of Alexandria will disappear as though it never existed in about 300 years. In other words, for 300 years, it is a dominant community. And then after the death of Philo and others, whom I'll talk about later, the city of Alexandria was sacked by pirates, and the Jewish community never rebuilt itself. Even though it was the premier Jewish community. It was the wealthiest, most influential, most powerful, most sophisticated. It was a Greek community. And that's in Jewish history, we have a number of such aberrations of great Jewish communities that looked like they should last forever. And then, like somebody just pulled the plug on them, and they disappeared. Alexandria is one of those communities.
Was it largely a Frum community?
Yeah, well, all the Jews were Frum. They weren't all observant, but they all were Frum. I mean, how individual Jews behaved from the beginning of time is probably no different than today, but there was not a variant Judaism. No one said, it was not a Reform Judaism, no. I mean, that's what it was. But we'll see that... After the Chash Menoyim, we will come to the first variant Judaism, the Judaism of the Tzedukim, etc., which also was based on a personal dispute in the priestly